in thinking about the statement that I made just a moment ago, how that when God sent Jeremiah to the potter's house to receive word, to receive instruction, and as I afore stated, that had he went to the tanner's house, the baker's house, he went to the house of God, if he went to the smith's house, that would have been the wrong place for him to get the message. And no doubt that message was something he needed him to hear. It's imperative for us to understand that many times when things come upon us that we have not brought upon ourselves, that's time for us to hear a word, the word of the Lord. In our passage tonight, we're still dealing with seeing Jesus. And at this particular time, I want to just give us our title. Seeing Jesus is seeing him with more than our natural eyes. Seeing Jesus is more than seeing him with our natural eyes. Tim, why would you say that? Well, the man that's going to see him tonight is blind. But the other people that's going to be there seem like they don't see him. So what else would stick out if we're talking about seeing Jesus? So therefore, since I want to stick with that theme, but. In the time of adversity, when everything we see is wrong, everything we see is going against us, that may be the time to see Jesus with more than our natural eyes. Let's delve into this passage and see if that kind of bears itself out. And verse 46, please.
And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway, begging.
Now we see that they left from where they were after Jesus told them that the Son of Man came to give himself a ransom for many, something that Siddhartha, the Buddha, could not do. Something that Muhammad or any of the other religions of the world, they can't say that man came to give himself a life, a ransom for many, and then pay the price and then be resurrected to show that it was accepted. And even fulfill scripture to add that caveat in case somebody tried to say, well, so-and-so did it. I'm going to show you that you're a liar. But the word of God say he came and went out of Jericho, that's a particular place, with his disciples, those that followed him. And the word of God said, not only did he do this, but he did it with a great multitude. Not just a couple of people, but a great multitude of people. Now, you would think that they're going out, they see him, they know who he is, they are following him, they are wanting to know what Jesus can do, and they are looking for Jesus to do the Jesus thing. I'm pretty sure that's what they called it, or something similar to that. He's going to do that Jesus thing. We might get to eat. He had a brand new sack lunch, and you get to see some miracles happen with Jesus. But they went. And they had a vision of who he was, and they could actually see him with his eyes. But the one person there that couldn't see him, we don't even know his name. Somebody say his name is Blind Bartimaeus. No. It's not Blind Bartimaeus. Bar means son of. Son of who? Son of Timaeus, a name similar to Timothy. Timae, or Tamia, the Greek portion of that means to honor or to venerate. Blind Bartimaeus is sitting on the highway side, not in the middle of the street. No doubt, based upon what we know about the scriptures and Trinity on merit, they probably thought this was one of the most sinful men that ever been, you know, because sometimes people think if you're blind, you, or why were you that way? If you were born that way, they want to know who did sin, this man or his parents. If you did sin, oh, no doubt, if you had been living before and not been blind, that's what you get. Well, now you're reduced to begging. Now you're reduced to being one of those that they feel could not even learn Torah. One of those that did not have a skill that he could marketly employ. And you're sitting there begging, you're waiting for somebody to give you something so you can eat, so you can make a living. I want to say this for the beggars of the world, the true beggars. And I want to say this for blind Bartimaeus. Hopefully he's still alive with the Lord. Other than that, he'll be in existence where he can be judged. But I want to say this for him. You know, you could be a grown man in your 30s, 40s, 20s, whatever, and you could be one that don't even want to go beg to earn something so that you can have something that you can do to contribute. This man was begging. I want to appreciate him. I really do. I didn't want to throw that out there because he may have been good at it. After a while, if you do something long enough, you might learn the right things. I don't know. I'm just looking at the passage to see if he learned the right thing to say. Read to Tim.
And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Girl, I like how you read that. If we went to do a Bible class right now, I'd give you a sugar. Glory to Jesus. Now, when he heard, when his ears caught something of significance, when it's no doubt there was a sound of rustling feet and sandals hit the sand or got the dust on them. No doubt clothes, you know, they had those clothes with those tassels on it. No doubt people were talking. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? But he heard that talking. Because no doubt it's like there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of people coming by here. And what's going on? Not Marvin Gaye, but I mean, really, what's going on? And Jesus, that's who the noise is about, Jesus. But you don't get to the place where hearing about Jesus means that much the first time you hear about Jesus until you've heard something about Jesus, so that when you hear that he's in the midst or he's getting ready to do something, that it brings excitement to you. Mm-hmm. Let's just tell Jesus about Jesus to somebody that never heard him. Who is he? Mm-hmm. What's the big deal? But he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth. That means he's got a reputation. His fame is going abroad. He began to cry out, I got one chance. I got one chance. He's here. He's now. I can't let go of for tomorrow what I can do for today. Now is my accepted time, I hope. I hope it's my accepted time. And he heard that it was Jesus. And as you so inimitably read it, he began to cry out, Jesus! Jesus! Notice the word there, cry. You know, sometimes we think of in America, cry means to let tears roll down your face. But the word here is kradzo. You would pronounce it K-R-A-D-Z-O. That would be what is called a transliteration. So it's not, they don't use English alphabets. But anyway, it means to cry out or to croak, like the cry of a raven. To cry out aloud. Look at the word here, vociferate. That means really loud. So it would have been, Jesus! Did you hear that screech? I'm trying not to bust the recording, but it would have been with all his might, because you are the only hope that I ever heard of that I could receive my sight. I'm blind, but I see you. I'm blind, but I know that you're the kind that if I can get to you, you have the ability. You're blind. I see you, but I want to receive my sight. Would to God that we would want to receive our sight to see Jesus. Read, please.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace.
Now, what I want you to grasp when it says that many charged him and commanded, told him to hold his peace, what they didn't seemingly grasp, he just called him the son of David. Mm-hmm. He just called him the master of all, the ruler of all, the Jews, the Gentile, everything, the one that a kingdom is given. He is called Jesus by the same title Jesus called himself. What did this man see? I don't remember the disciples calling him son of David. Mm-mm. And he asked him, who do you say that I am? How many of them say, the son of David, the son of man? He calls him the son of David. Now, Jesus used that same title when the Pharisees were running their mouth, and he asked him the question, whose son is Messiah? Whose son is the anointed one? And they said, David. Mm-hmm. And he was like, okay, that's right. So then how does he in prophecy call him his Lord? Mm-hmm. The Bible said they durst not ask any questions. That's a game changer. Mm-hmm. Okay? So he uses that title. I got a little confused with the Son of Man, but he used that title to even shut the people's mouth. And when he heard that it was Jesus, he did that, and the people charged him. When they say charged, listen to this word. It's epitimeo. What does epitimeo mean? It means to straightly charge. That means to adjudge with a fault or to tax with a fault or to chide, rebuke, reprove, censure severely, to admonish or charge sharply. They were basically trying to shut up. Rebuking him. Do you remember one time some people didn't see Jesus as he was when they brought children? And they were rebuking the people for bringing the children. And what happened? And they had to get corrected because they didn't see Jesus as he is. I allow the children. I love the children. The children are the future of you all. Let them come. Mm-hmm. In this case, here's a man, just like the women wanted to get their children blessed. And they're charging him severely. Mm-hmm. Admonishing. Chiding. Snapping the neck of this man as if he's wrong. But this man, he already sees that Jesus is the one. And what I need, the one thing that I see that I need right now is to receive my sight. That's all that I see. But I've already acknowledged him as being the son of David, as if I see that. But there are other things that you can give me. This is everlasting name. Read that 48 verse again. Let me be quiet.
And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, thou son of David, have mercy on me.
Yes! Woo! Can you imagine when many people, it didn't say 6, 7, or 8, it said many. Many charged him. Many found fault with him. According to this word of hulos, that means many, much, large, great. That means it was more than just a few. He had to fight through the obstacle. He had to not care what they said, because I see what I see. And they were charging him, maybe trying to push him backwards. But he cried that much the more. And he said again, thou son of David, the one that David calls Lord, I don't earn anything from you. I don't deserve anything, but I just want a little mercy from you. What happened? Verse 49.
And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. Rise, he calleth thee.
That just irritates Timothy Wayman Merritt. You just told him to shut up. You just told him all this stuff. Now that Jesus said, you want to get on the same page, be of good cheer. If it hadn't been for you, he wouldn't have got his blessing. If it hadn't been for many people striving to go on with God on their own, many people, their own family, religious community, and those that they know would hold them back. Because this man was striving and crying out, I need something that Jesus has. And you all can't give it. And you all were trying to keep me from it. I cried after more. And I sought the Lord. And he heard me. And he's going to deliver me from my affliction. This is what's getting ready to happen. He's the son of David. And so he cries out the more. Jesus stood still. You got my attention. Mm-hmm. Oh, would to God that we cried and get his attention. And they called the blind man. Now they're talking about, I'd be a good company call of you. It'd have been up to you all. He wouldn't have got anything. So what did Jesus just do? If you miss this, you miss something. Jesus just rebuked them and chided them. Because what you're saying, you don't see me as I am. Mm-hmm. And by you not seeing me as I am, what you have really done, in essence, you have made this man be in the position where he could have lost out on benefits. Mm-hmm. You think I got too much time for him. You think he's insignificant and worth nothing because he's a beggar. He's not considered to be one of the elite. He's got an illness. He's got an affliction. You think he's down low. But I came to give my life a ransom for many. I came to seek and save that which is lost. I came to restore sight to the blind. Luke chapter 4, 18. Read the word of God, Tim. So now it says, he calleth. What happens in verse 50 and 51?
And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight.
When the blind man is blind enough to understand that I might receive my sight, but obviously he sees enough to, although he is blind, to know who is there, who to scream out to, who to ignore, who to pay attention to, I think he can see something. Now, if I'm wrong, I sit down to be corrected. I really do. Because it looks like to me, he saw something. It looks like to me, by him seeing what he sees, he's in a position right now to get what he's asking for. Take me to that last verse.
And Jesus said unto him, Go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way.
This is the first time this ever really just jumped out at me like this. Read those last two words again. The last two words of verse 52.
The way.
And now read what he immediately did.
Received his sight. And followed Jesus.
In where?
The way.
Do you remember that that's what they used to call it? The way? That's what they used to call it. You will see it in the book of Acts. This man, let's talk about a man that can see. This man, it says, and he said, What wilt thou that I should do unto thee? And the man said, I might receive my sight. Lord, I might receive my sight. That's what all I want. Yet, you've already demonstrated that there's something that you can see. Where did you get that from? Because Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy faith have saved thee, or thy faith have made thee whole. What was his faith then? Was his faith that I can just be healed? If it's the case, why did he need Jesus? If his faith, if you read it, that his faith saved him, then why did he need to get to Jesus? Keep your context, keep your thoughts in mind in line with what happened. Your faith in me, your faith in believing that I can, your faith in believing that if I will it to happen, then so be it. And you trusted that I am of truth and that I do not lie. When I say go thy way, your faith has made you whole, then you do believe what I say. It happens because it's my will, and then your will, your thoughts, your desires, your faith has met with my will and that which I have given for you to have. And it says that immediately he received his sight. But to prove that the man already had sight, it says, and followed him. He told him to go his way. Mm-hmm. His way is now your way, Jesus. That's what it is. Because before, wherever he was begging. There was somewhere he was probably having to lay up and live off somebody. But now, this man, when he says, go thy way. Go thy way, thy faith has made thee whole. Immediately he received his sight. And what is his way? And he followed Jesus in the way. When we receive the sight that's not with the eyes, we'll know who to follow. We'll know who to follow. We'll learn when to speak up. Because we're speaking up. So that we can have access to him. We'll learn when to be quiet or who to let make us quiet. And at the same particular time, those that see that we are not of value, when we can see, the Lord Jesus has the opportunity to show, not only are they of value to me, I'll make it where they're of value to you if you see it. Bless his everlasting name that sits between the cherubim. Short little passage tonight, full of I'm ready for my discussion, because this is the time when you all share with me and teach me stuff.